The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 4, in verse number 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save," or you could say except, "a pot of oil. And then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Many people don't believe in miracles, but I want you to know that I just read to you about a miracle in the Word of God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Saturday night a week ago, I began to look at this text. I began to chew on it, and I began to meditate on it. And God began to let it swell up in my soul. And if I don't get done by 12 o'clock, that'll surprise maybe one or two. But it won't surprise many. Amen. I've been chewing on this all week. Give me some time this morning to give you what God has given me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the privilege to stand one more time and preach the Word of God. Lord, the Word of God is precious. Lord, it's because of the Word of God that one day after a while, heaven will be my home. I heard, Lord, that I was a sinner. I heard that Jesus was the Savior. I heard that there was a hell to shun and there was a heaven to gain. I heard, Lord, one day that I had to be born again. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. God, I thank you, Lord, for the call into the ministry and the privilege, Lord, just to have a little place in the corner of your field to work in your vineyard till you come. I pray, God, you'd richly bless this message as it goes forth. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I guess I would call the message the widow and her pot of oil. But we're going to be looking at several things today. With God being our helper, just going down through some truths that the Lord shared with me as I read this text over and over and over again. The primary interpretation of this scripture, and the Bible did tell us that no scripture is of private interpretation, but the primary interpretation of this scripture is how that God meets the needs of His people. He cares about us. I love the song that said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Beloved, listen, you cannot read the Bible and not understand that the Lord does not only care about our soul, but He also cares about our substance. Amen. I mean, He wants to meet our needs. That's the way that God is. I was thinking, Brother Akers, you're here this morning, and thinking about being down there in Chattanooga in that burn center. Who would have ever believed, brother, that this many years later, you'd be able to make your way to the house of God? This man's been through a lot, amen. But I tell you, God is able, amen. And we need to see that in the Word of God. The Bible said in Psalm 37:25, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I look at that verse of scripture and look back in my life, he was meeting my needs before I ever come to know him as Savior. When I was walking in sin and walking in my ignorance, it was the God of heaven that was feeding this old boy and helping me and preserving my life till I was 27 years old and could come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And he's been helping me ever since. There's only one interpretation in the scripture, but there are many applications in the scripture. And I want to concentrate today on application, what we might learn and apply to our lives as God's people. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Bible said these were written for our learning. These were written for our ensamples or examples for our admonition. And God give us an Old Testament that even in the New Testament hour we might learn, amen, and glean a truth that would help us in our daily lives. I've got 11 things. You say, preacher, why would you tell us that? Some of you weren't praying, but you're praying now. Amen. I've got 11 things to share with you. Amen. And we'll see how far we get this morning. The great thing about pastoring is you can break it in half. Amen. If you have to. Amen. We might have to break it in thirds, but we'll just see how it goes. I want to get started. The first thing I want to say that the Lord showed me in this scripture is that even good people can fall on hard times. This lady here had a husband. If you do the study, she's more than likely in history the wife of Obadiah. And Obadiah had taken care of 100 of the prophets of God during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. He had hidden them in the cave. He had fed them. I'm telling you, this is not a sorry family. This is a good family. Amen. And if you listen to some of this preaching that's going on today, it's a bunch of junk. They'll tell you, my friend, if you love God and live for God, you'll never have a need. That's a bunch of junk. Amen. I'm telling you, some of God's dear children have gone through some hard times in their life. Amen. And it wasn't a punishment, amen, but my friend, it was a blessing because God was helping them and growing them. And here, my friend, is this wife, this widow of Obadiah. And I believe in 1 Kings 18, the Bible said, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. I believe it's very possible that this man had given all that he had trying to help somebody else. Amen. Let me tell you something about our Lord. He's not, my friend, going to forget about that. Amen. The day's coming when we're going to reap what we've sown. Amen. And God is going to see to it that this widow is taken care of, this certain woman here in the Word of God. Let me give you this. Secondly, even good people can fall on hard times. But the second thing the Lord showed me in this is this woman knew where to turn in a time of trouble. She knew where to turn. You say, preacher, I don't believe we ought to be turning to any man. Listen to what the Word of God said. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 1 of Hebrews, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Listen, she knew the man of God, and she turned to the man of God. You say, well, preacher, why did she turn to the man of God? Because that was God's way, and that was God's will in this generation. Amen. And she turned to the man of God. In times past, he spake to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by also he made the world. I got to thinking about Elisha, and Elijah's fixing to go up into heaven in a whirlwind. Why is Elisha being used of God here? I tell you why. Because he stayed with the man of God. Elijah tried to get him to stay behind on 3 different occasions. He said, oh no, as thy soul liveth and thou livest. He said, I'm going to go with
with you all the way. And Elijah said, you're going to have to be with me. And he was with me. He said, what do you request? He said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. You know what we need in this generation? We need a double portion of the spirit of the living God. So much so that somebody else can understand that there's a touch of God in our lives. Amen. That he could see, she could see where she needed to turn in her time of crisis. Even good people can fall on hard times. And then this woman knew where to turn in a time of crisis. I don't know if you've thought about it tonight, but you know, I don't have thousands of dollars. But you know what? If I did have thousands of dollars, one illness could wipe that out. Say amen. I tell you tonight, if people got money, I'm glad for them. But I tell you tonight, the God of heaven, listen to me. He's going to meet the needs whether we've got anything in the bank or whether we don't. Amen. He used the ravens to take care of Elijah. And he'll take care of you and he'll take care of me. I believe that. Even good people can fall on hard times. This woman knew where to turn. But let me give you this. We're getting down into the meat here a little bit. Here's what I want to give you next that I learned. The Lord is looking to use what we have in order to provide what we don't have. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. Elijah said to her, I believe that God could have just, he spoke the world into existence. And he could have just spoke, amen, and it would have been met. The need would have been met. But there's a principle in the Word of God. I'm going to say this morning. Some people struggle because they've never learned to turn loose of what they have. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you there would have been 5,000 men without, and that's besides the women and children, would have went hungry had that little lad not been willing to turn loose of that little lunch. God took the two fishes and the five loaves and he broke them and he blessed them and he broke them and he blessed them and it met the need. But God will use what you and I have to provide what we don't have. He'll do it every time. Said, what do you have? She said, well, I don't have anything save or except this little old pot of oil. This little old pot of oil, that's all I've got. And Elijah, we could learn something from Elisha right here. We could learn this. We need to start with people where they are. Sometimes we expect people to come where we are to where we think they should be. Let me tell you something right now. Why not just start where they are? Start with what they have. Amen. I believe that's the Lord's plan. Amen. In all of this. So we see here that the Lord is looking to use what we have. The Lord's not going to require of you and I what we don't have. But he is going to require of us. Somebody said, well, if I just win that lottery, amen, I'd give to the church. Not if you wouldn't give a dime out of a dollar. Amen. You wouldn't give $100,000 out of a million. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, listen, God is wanting us to see that he meets the needs by using what we have in order to provide what we don't have. Over and over, this principle is taught in the Word of God. Now watch this today. You come on down through here in the Scripture. Listen to what he said. He said, go borrow thee vessels in verse number 3. She said, I don't have anything except a pot of oil in the house. He said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. He said, preacher, what do you think the Lord is saying to us here? How could we apply this in our lives? Let me give you something. The Lord is looking for empty vessels that he might fill them. Let me give you something. There's a principle right here. There's a pot here. And I believe in Bible days that more than likely, you could almost probably say 99% sure, these vessels were made of clay. Did you know this morning that that's all you and I are, is a house of clay? Did you know that God wants us to bring that vessel? But God wants us, listen, I'm going to say something this morning. You might not understand it, and you may understand it perfectly. The hard part about being filled is not being filled. The hard part about being filled is being emptied. How many knows I'm telling it right there? Amen. I'm telling you, the flesh doesn't want to be empty. Amen. Listen, we need to be emptied of sin. We need to be emptied of ourselves. We need to be emptied of the substitutes that we bring in life for God and the idols that come between us and him. I believe with all of my heart. Listen, it was important. Elisha said, listen, I want you to go borrow vessels, but don't you go over there and get a vessel that's got something in it. You go over and get a vessel that's empty. I tell you, I've been chewing on this week. Brother Johnny's asked me to come and preach to the teenagers this coming summer. And Lord willing, I'm going to go. I tell you, God's a blessing and He's helping me. You know what I need the kids to do? Just bring a vessel. Just bring a vessel. Just bring a vessel. And God can fill that vessel. You know what we need in our church? You know what we need in our homes? We just need to bring the empty vessel. And let God fill that vessel for His glory. Empty. We're living in a generation. Listen to me. I'm not picking, but it's the truth. I don't do Facebook. I'm not against it. I just don't have time. Amen. But we're living in a generation. I can't remember where I read this, but I think the most popular word, it was either last year or the year before, the most popular word was selfie. S-E-L-F-I-E. Everybody's got their phone holding it out, taking a picture of their self. They're proud of their self. I'm going to tell you something about self. When you get in the light of our Savior, all self will diminish. Amen. We'll be like old Isaiah and say, I abhor myself. Amen. Hate our stinking self. Because we want to be emptied out of self, emptied out of sin, and filled with the glory of God. The Lord is looking for empty vessels that He might fill them. Empty of sin, empty of self, empty of the substitutes that we bring in our life. Watch this now. I think this is important. The number five the Lord showed me here in this scripture. She was to set aside that which is full. I want you to see some things here. These may not be exactly in the order, but they're the order that God gave them to me. In verse number 4, He said here, He said, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. I don't know about you. The Bible doesn't say. I know the vessels were empty, but let's just say peradventure that one of those boys looked down in there and there was a cobweb. I guess y'all know what a cobweb is, don't you? Let's just say that maybe it had rained in that vessel and maybe there was a little bit of water in the. How many believes that those boys had enough sense, amen, that they might have wiped that cobweb out of that vessel before they brought it to mama? Or they might have dumped that water out of that vessel and dried that vessel out. Everybody knows that oil and water don't go together. Well, I tell you what, you won't live very long as a Christian. You'll understand that the Spirit of God and flesh don't go good together either. Amen? One has to go so that the other might stay. Now, let me give you this. She was to set aside that which was full. The Bible over and over and over again in the New Testament uses the word sanctified. And what that word means is set apart. Let me read you an instance where it's used in the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, watch this, set apart, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. He said, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness and faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Listen, God doesn't want to just fill us just to be filling us. God wants to fill us that He might use us and set us apart for His honor and for His glory. He said, set apart that which is full. I believe with all of my heart there's some lessons to be learned about this widow and this oil that God gives us here in the Word of God. Let me give you this, number 6. I'm coming on down through the Scripture here. And you can just say this, it is faith and it is obedience that brings blessings. She never looked at the man of God. She never looked at Elisha and said, Elisha, have you lost your mind? What good is it going to do for me to go send the boys out to get empty vessels? She just acted. Let me say something to you. You haven't lived for God until you've done something that didn't make any sense just because God told you to do it. Listen, God will never tell you to do something that's contrary to His Word. But I'll tell you, sometimes He'll have you do something that just does not make sense to you or those around you. I'll just be honest with you. I wouldn't be your pastor today if I'd have done what made sense. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say what God wants of you, what God wants of me will come through faith and through obedience. It may not make sense to you, and it may not make sense to me. But we need to follow God. She never argued with the man of God. Let me give you this. Here's a good thing to latch on to. I didn't plan on saying this. Let me say this to the teenagers. I don't see in there where those boys argued with mom either. They just went on out there to the neighbor's house and started gathering them vessels up. They didn't say, Mama, have you lost your mind? Mama, you know you ain't got no business listening to that man of God. Oh, no. They just went and borrowed not a few. They got as many as they could. Brought them back to the house. By the way, those boys were fixing. Boy, God's giving me some good stuff right here. I didn't plan on saying all this. Rest of it's going to cost you, but this will be free. Listen, those boys were fixing to be sold as bondmen. In the Old Testament, Brother Rose, that was legal and that was right. That's what was supposed to happen. If the creditor come and you couldn't pay the debt, then that's what you did. You just turned over them boys. They're going to be slaves. But you say, preacher, why did you say this? I'm going to tell you why. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to tell you why that many young people are still a slave to sin. It's because they don't have faith and they don't obey God and they think their mother or their father is a nut and crazy. I tell you, they're not crazy. They're wanting the best for your life, wanting the best for my life. Man, these boys, Sister Jennifer had these boys just stood up and said, I don't care what you say, Mama. My brother tried that when that secular humanism started in the school system. Mama said one day, I think my brother was in the fifth grade. She said, Chris, I want you to take a garbage out. He said, my teacher said, I don't have to do what you say. Yeah, that right there. Caught him right there. He picked himself up over there and carried the garbage out. Amen. Mama said, I don't care what the teacher says. You live in this house and you're going to do what Mama says. I say hallelujah for a mama like that. Oh, I wasn't saying hallelujah when I was a youngin'. I wasn't saying hallelujah when I was a teenager. Say amen. But today I can look back and say, thank God for a mother and father. That my friend didn't give me what I wanted, but gave me what I needed. Amen. Brother Mace Jackson said years ago, he said his dad would whoop him. He'd say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. Brother Mace would always say, I would thank my Lord. Somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. I'm telling you, when Daddy whooped me, my friend, it might have hurt Daddy. But I'll tell you who it hurt more. It hurt me. Amen. And faith and obedience will bring blessings to the people of God. I want to give you this now. Number seven, we're going to plow right on. Amen. I thought the Lord was dealing with me about something different tonight, so we're going to plow right on. Number seven, I want you to imagine the bewilderment and the excitement in this woman's life. I want you to imagine that with me. I think inside of the bounds of Scripture, every once in a while, we need to let our imagination go. Listen, let me just go ahead and preach the next point, and I'll come back to this. Here's this woman. The Bible said, close the door. Boy, that would do a lot of these high-powered evangelism preachers
wasn't it? Amen. In other words, don't get up on the stage and do it for a show. Close the door. This ain't for a show towards men. This is for glory towards God. That took care of a point that's coming later. Close the door. Close the door. Let me give you this. I believe this woman, she's looking at that oil. She watches that oil start in the bottom of that vessel and feel it plumb to the top. Now, I don't know, but I believe she might have looked and might have stopped and might have looked. They still the same amount of oil in this vessel. All I got's a pot of oil. Now that one's full. I don't know, but I could see her, Brother Anthony, maybe just look at her son. Like, did you see that? Is anybody with me? Have you ever lived for God and had God to answer a prayer and just looked at maybe your wife or looked at somebody and said, did you see that? Can you believe that? Sometimes God is so good, it's even hard to believe how good that He is. Then she gets another one. She pours it. Oh, I believe these frowns have turned into grins. Don't you? Amen. I believe, Brother Johnny, this is the way my mind went. You know how Peter was when he got caught up there and he said, Lord, he said, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. I believe this woman may have went through a little bit of that. Lord, I'm so ashamed that I didn't believe you. I'm so ashamed, Lord, that I doubted you. I'm so ashamed. She might have went through some of that like Thomas where he cried out, my Lord and my God. She might have been pouring and saying, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. Watch him meet the needs one more time. Oh, I tell you, I believe this woman's excited. Now, I'm going to say something. Everybody's not emotional. Everybody ain't the same. I thank God they're not. But I tell you, there ought to be something down inside of you every once in a while that just turns a backflip at the goodness of God. You ought to be laying in the bed on one of these nights when it was below zero and look up towards the ceiling and tears run down your eyes and say, God, I thank you that I'm not out there in the cold. I thank you I got a roof over my head. I thank you I got something warm in my belly. I thank you for my family. I thank you for your salvation. There ought to be something every once in a while that just causes us to get excited about the goodness of God. The bewilderment, the excitement in her heart. Now, I don't know about you, but here I am reading something that happened probably 4,000 years ago, and I can get excited about it. Amen. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. Years ago, this coming July will be 8 years ago, when the insurance got done paying, my part of the bills was still over $10,000. I started to write a prayer letter. And I started to tell the churches that supported me about the need. And the Holy Ghost said, don't do it. He said, you talk about the work. You can ask them to pray for you. But he said, you talk to me about that need. I'll talk to them. You see, I believe with all of my heart, God is still in the need-meeting business. You say, preacher, how long did it take to pay that $10,000 off? It was less than 3 months. Less than 3 months without a word said to anybody. You say, preacher, how does God do that? Can I remind you of something? I didn't have to tell God. He already knew. The Bible said He knows what we need even before we ask. But He said to ask and you shall receive. Here's a woman that asked the man of God. And God was going to meet the need. She's pouring. She's pouring. She's pouring. Oh, beloved friend, let me give you a couple more things right here. This is good. I love it. Don't you? The Word of God. It was not for a show. It was to bring glory to God. Now watch this now. Here's something God spoke to my heart about. Only as the oil was poured out were other vessels filled.
Now you listen to me. We've got some senior saints, and I'm not just talking about age. I'm not just talking about whether it's Hardy's 55 or I wish somebody make up her mind who a senior is. I get excited about getting a discount and get in there and find out there's a 65. Amen. Amen. I'm not just talking about age. I'm talking about some of you folk been in the path a while. You know what it is to serve God, to love God. I'm going to tell you how God spoke to my heart right here. Only, it don't matter how many empty vessels come, but they're only going to be filled while somebody else is pouring out. Let me say something to the Sunday school teachers. Keep pouring out. Let me say something to the youth director. Keep pouring out. Pour your life into what you're doing. Amen. To the pastor, God spoke to my heart. Listen, keep pouring out. You say, preacher, where did you get that in the Bible? Listen to this verse of scripture. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. If our Lord and Savior could pour it all out on Calvary, then you and I can pour that others might be filled. Nobody else is going to get filled unless we're willing to pour out, give of what we have. The Bible said in Acts 10:45, they of them circumcision which believed were astonished. And many of them, and many as came to Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. I say if God pours out on us, we ought to turn around and invest our lives in others and pour out in them. Number 10. Watch this now. The Lord's helping our church. He's helping us. Watch this. When there was not a vessel more, the oil stayed. You say, preacher, how important is it that we be willing? How important is it that we bring our vessel? It's very important. I'm going to say this. I'm fearful. I'm fearful for the next generation. You said, preacher, I saw you carrying Olivia around. Bob, will anybody still be poured out? Will anybody still be bringing their vessel empty to Jesus and saying, fill it, Lord? God, it's not my will. It's thy will that needs to be done in my life. We plan our lives and then ask God to sign off on it instead of allowing God to plan our lives and then us signing off on it. When there was not a vessel more, I believe, you don't have to believe this, but I believe when she poured and said, okay, boys, and there wasn't another one, don't you think there was just a little bit of disappointment? Just a little bit, like, well, let's pour another one. But it wouldn't have done any good. I'm going to tell you, the day's coming soon when the Holy Spirit's going to take wings and fly out of this world. You say, preacher, where are you going to be? Flying with him. But for those that are left behind, not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. The oil stayed. I don't know about you, but that speaks to my heart. As long as we could open the doors to this church, somebody will bring a vessel. God said, I'll have some oil. I'll pour. Just bring a vessel. I'll pour. But when there's not a willing vessel, the The oil stayed. The oil stayed. Let me give you this. I don't like to close on a note like this, but I'm going to give it to you just like God gave it to me. Here's the last point in the message. The Bible said here in verse number 1, the creditor is come. Now, I've never had the Lord speak to my heart like he did right here, but I believe I've got Bible to back up what I'm about to say. The creditor is come. You and I, the Bible tells us, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. I'm talking about we that are redeemed, we that are born again, we that are saved. We don't belong to ourselves. We're bought with a price. I had a man years ago, Brother Malin Wyatt, a preacher, gave me a little plaque. And it said this, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because I had a debt I could not pay. The creditor is come. That jumped out at me. Let me tell you something. The creditor is coming. Wait a minute. You stay with me a minute before you judge what I just said. The creditor is coming. Listen to this verses, these verses of Scripture in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We get excited about that. I am excited about that. He's still saving that which is lost. And as they heard these things, he added and he spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, y'all know this is a picture of Jesus going away and he's going to return. It's a parable. It's a picture. And he called his 10 servants and he delivered them 10 pounds and he said unto them, occupy till I come. That reminds me, Brother John, I believe Brother James Jones was here in revival. Brother John, we were back there working one day and Brother John said, preacher, he said, do you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, then what are we doing all this work for? You remember that, Brother John? Well, when I told Brother James about that, he said, you go back and tell Brother John that Jesus said, occupy till I come. Amen. Amen. Occupy till I come. Watch this now. But his citizens hated him. They sent him a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Talking about Israel, really. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him, whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, and reapest, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest that not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound. You say, preacher, I don't like that creditor over there in this story that we've been preaching about this morning. I don't think he should have done that. I'm going to tell you, there's another creditor coming that we better be concerned about. And we owe it to him to bring the vessel. We owe it to him to bring an empty vessel, get the self out and the sin out and the substitutes out. Let him fill us. Because one day, we're going to give an account. He said, take from him, give it to the one that had 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. Watch this. What if that woman refused to give God her pot of oil? Even that she hath would have been taken from her. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Those two sons were fixing to go and be bondmen and be slaves. I don't know about you this morning, but as I look at this text, I see that it's very, very important that God wants us to give him what we have, not what we don't have. It's very, very important that God wants us to give him the vessel. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. The vessel of honor, what makes the difference? What it's full of. If it's full of self, full of sin, full of substitutes, it will never bring honor to God. But if it's full of the Spirit, if it's full of heaven's oil, that vessel can bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. I don't know about you, but I feel like these are practical truths from the Word of God that can be applied in our lives today. Somebody said to me one time, they said, preacher, aren't you worried about them people that's all the time coming to an altar? Actually, I'm not. I worry about those that never come. Never bring a vessel. Never bring a burden. I don't know about you this morning, but in the wee hours of the morning, I just told the Lord again, he don't need to be reminded, that, Lord, I'm yours. And without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. This morning, is there something in your vessel? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad God has a hand that can reach down in our vessel and wipe it clean? Sometimes when we think of sin, we just think of the gross stuff. Adultery and idolatry and immorality and all that stuff. But sometimes it could be envy. It could be strife. It could be bitterness. See, sometimes we can't help what hurts us, but hurt sometimes will turn into bitterness. Aren't you glad he can reach down? I've had him to do it over and over and over. And scoop that mess out of my life. And forgive me and wash me. And let me be a vessel of honor one more time. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege, God, to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of your dear people. Father, this morning, it's my prayer, God, that we'd bring our vessel. God, that you'd fill our vessel. You'd speak to our hearts today. Help us, dear Lord, to be a reflection of your grace and your glory. Help us, God, today. Save the lost. Strengthen the children of God.